Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. Eating a healthy, affordable diet is a lot harder than it used to be. One time, buying unprocessed and fresh foods saved you money. However, highly processed foods are now often cheaper than healthier options. Summer is a perfect time to take advantage of the wonderful array of fruits and vegetables so you can eat healthier on a budget. To tell us how to get started is registered dietitian Beth Allison, creator of The Nutrition Garden. Beth lives here in Massachusetts and offers an array of services such as private nutrition consultations, weight loss workshops, and nutrition and fitness parties. Now that sounds like fun. Beth, welcome to the show. On your website, www.bethallisonrd.com, you have a page about your philosophy, and you talk about the importance of removing negative feelings about one's body and food so, you know, one can succeed in their weight or nutrition-related health issues. And you mentioned that you struggled with that yourself. Can you share us what helped you change your views of your body and food?
Certainly. One of the main things for me was going back to school to earn my nutrition degree. And I always had the focus that I wanted to work with clients and help them achieve their health and wellness goals, and also really deal with their emotional issues that are attached to food. And in doing that, I really realized that I could no longer hang on to my habits that I had formed for myself and do a good job at counseling. So I just really stopped the negative talk that I would do to myself and stopped using food as a comfort and just looked at it more for nutritional health and well-being. And also that sitting down and cooking yourself a healthy meal is not like a luxury, but really something that you should do for yourself to reward yourself positively.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it's funny when you were talking about the negative voices. Recently, I had on Bethany Frankel, who's from one of the Bravo television programs, and she wrote a book called Naturally Thin, and she talked about the food noise versus a food voice. And that's, you know, turning off the food noise where you're putting yourself down and you feel negative about your body, and turning on your food voice where you're saying, it's okay, and I'm going to eat this, and I'm going to make something for myself. So that just reminded me of that.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, let's talk about eating healthy in the summertime. What's the best way to get started?
I think the best way to get started is to look at what you can purchase locally to just help inspire you to make really light and healthy meals that are quick and easy and delicious. So if you're really used to eating like a heavy pasta dinner, it's a great time to just make a light salad and just maybe grill something, get a nice piece of fish at your local grocery store or a fish market, and just look at it that way and just really use the flavors of the summer to inspire you.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, there's some great flavors in the summers. Now, I love farmers markets. And when I lived in California, I would go every week. Now, how does someone find out about farmers markets where they live? And for folks here in Massachusetts, are there some that you would recommend?
Yes. Actually, if you go on to the Massachusetts Department of Agriculture, they had a great opportunity to just type in farmers market, and it will give you a location. So even if you're from a certain area, but you're vacationing maybe down the Cape, you could find a farmer's market in that location so that if you were staying at a beach house, you could hit and tap into that market as well. Certainly your local paper, and even in Drake, they have signs up all over the place, you know, when they're having it and the dates and et cetera.
Oh, that's nice. Now, do you find that the farmer's markets are less expensive than going to a grocery store for seasonal produce?
They definitely can be competitive. It's going to depend on the farmer's market, but usually the prices are fairly competitive, and sometimes they are often cheaper because if they happen to produce a large amount of, let's say, cucumbers per se, they're going to want to really move those, whereas a grocery store, they purchase them off of large trucks, so they know what they're going to get each week.
I see. Now, there's a lot of talk these days about the importance of buying organic foods, especially, obviously, fruits and vegetables. What are your feelings on this?
Well, I think the first thing that you need to think about is, what are your nutrition goals? If you're somebody who's trying to get your family just to eat more fruits and vegetables, and you're not comfortable with cooking, and you're just not really at a level that you're going to start thinking about organic, don't overwhelm yourself. Start just thinking fruits and vegetables in general. And then when you get to a point where you're really incorporating fruits and vegetables into your diet, you're making more wholesome meals, then you can start to think about, okay, what fruits and vegetables should I be considering buying organic? Because I do buy many things organic myself. But I think that it can get very overwhelming. And if you're just standing in the grocery store thinking, I'm just not really sure, just buy fruits and vegetables. Let's start there.
Now, I have heard, though, that if you do want to go organic, the thin-skinned fruits like berries, nectarines, peaches, those are better, whereas like a banana or a pineapple or an orange, it's not as important to go organic.
Absolutely. And there's actually, they've come up with a really nice list. It's called the Dirty Dozen.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, and I can just list it for you quickly if you'd like.
Yes, I would.
it's peaches, apples, sweet bell peppers, celery, nectarines, strawberries, cherries, lettuce, grapes if they're imported, and most of them are, pears, spinach, and potatoes.
Okay, so those are the ones that you definitely want to get organic.
Absolutely.
Now, did you say mushrooms on that list?
No, mushrooms weren't on that list.
Really? Because I've been told that mushrooms are called pesticide sponges. I mean, okay, now again, I came from Santa Cruz, California, which is a very crunchy place.
Right.
So they were a little more concerned about that. But I've always been a little, you know, like, oh, I have to get my mushrooms organic. But that's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So in other words, the list could probably go on. So this is just the Dirty Dozen is considered the highest level. So you never know. Mushrooms could be number 13 for all you know. but I think if you're comfortable buying organic mushrooms and that's what you're used to doing, then mm-hmm. by all means, I mean, that would make sense. They're fairly porous and they do grow in the dirt. So,
okay.
You never know. But you're right in terms of the thin-skinned things, the things that are very fragile. But you're right. A banana isn't not necessarily to buy organic because you're going to take that big peel off anyways.
Yeah. Now, on your website, you have some great recipes, and I made the whole grain waffles, and they were so good. And my 5-year-old daughter just, you know, I want more. I'm like, it's all gone. But what was nice is to put berries with the waffles and fruit with the waffles. So you can talk about some foods that go really well with seasonal fruits.
Oh, sure. Just like you said, so because right now, you know, fresh blueberries, raspberries, those things, they taste so great. And we get to eat them fresh so less often in this part of the country. So you really want to take advantage of that. But, yeah, the whole grain waffles, even just to have it with just some yogurt and maybe a little sprinkle of granola, you can make smoothies out of them. Even for kids. A lot of times, they're more likely to eat fruit than vegetables.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I have no problem slicing up a peach and serving it with, a sandwich for my boys at lunchtime because I want to see them eat something.
Yeah. See, I'm lucky in that my daughter, she's practically a fruitarian. Recently I had Mark Reinfeld on who wrote The Complete Idiot's Guide to Raw Foods and a couple other books on vegan cooking. And we were talking about fruitarians. And honestly, I mean, most of the time it's hard to get her to eat anything else.
Yeah.
But vegetables has been really challenging. Do you have any creative ways for getting kids more veggies?
Yeah, definitely. And where she's 5, you can make her part of the process. So I find that because the whole grain waffle recipe actually came from my developing it from my son's preschool class. We went in and I made the waffles and then we were going to decorate them with like yogurt and put fruit slices on the top or whatever. They cared less about the toppings. They ate every single last waffle.
yeah, they are good.
But it was good because like I think a lot of them weren't going to try it at all until they saw their friends making these things and then really enjoying them. So even if you take celery sticks and you set it up so they can eat the peanut butter or even soy nut butter, and then they can put ants on the log.
Oh, yeah, with raisins, right?
Exactly, with raisins. If obviously you're not going to allow, like, a small child to use a knife, but have them just be there while you're cutting the vegetables up. So do, like, sweet red bell peppers and
she does like those.
Cucumber slice. Yeah, because they're very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to mix in a few that you would want her to try. So maybe if it's some, but even, like, green beans this time of year or sugar snap peas.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
And then have them pick out a dip. So even if it's, some ranch dressing or, you know, low-fat Italian dressing, or you make your own if you're really, you know, you sound like you're a little bit more creative in the kitchen. Sort of make a dip together, and then it makes it a little bit more fun, and it's not so you're putting the vegetables on their plate, and it becomes this, like, battle where you're sitting there saying, oh, just two more bites, just try, you know, so it sort of takes the struggle away. Because, and the other thing is that it's really true in that you want to introduce a new vegetable to a child 10 to 15 times before they'll try it.
That's what I've heard.
So, yeah, and it's very exhausting, and I understand, you know, the desire to give up after, like, a couple of days, but make it easy for yourself. Let's just say it's green beans, for example. Well, you know, prepare a batch and then just put it in the fridge, and then you have a couple servings for a few days.
Oh, that's
so you're
a
not
good idea.
Constantly, you know, you don't want to keep creating from scratch every single day.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, something that I like to do that I think is also really helpful to eat on a budget, if we talk, you know, going into that, mm-hmm. is, you know, using bulk foods. You know, if you make brown rice or quinoa or millet or, you know, whole grain pasta, and you make enough where you can put it in Tupperwares and put it in the fridge, then mm-hmm. it's something that you can go and then you can mix it with the vegetables that you have, or, you know, cook a bunch of chicken. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's a fabulous idea, because grains are so wonderful. They're so economic. You know, quinoa is just, it's one of the highest proteins. What grain, we lump it into the grain category. It's not really a grain, but that's what we consider it. It's so rich in amino acids. And I do think that people just get very overwhelmed every day saying, oh, I don't want to cook a batch of grains every single day. But certainly if you cook up enough for a couple of days, because I don't think they would last too long in your fridge, but keep them fairly plain, and then you can mix in your own vegetables, your own protein, and then vary the dressings that you would put on it. So maybe it's like an oil and vinegar base one day, and it's a nice cold salad, versus something, maybe you make a chicken soup or something, and then you just want to sort of mix in some quinoa into that to make it a little bit more hearty.
Yeah, I've had a quinoa tabbouleh, which was excellent.
Mm.
And you really can tell the difference, and it's much healthier.
Oh,
now,
definitely.
You had mentioned that quinoa is not a grain. Is it actually a seed? Or
It is a seed.
It is a
seed.
Okay.
It is a seed. But for all intents and purposes, just for convenience, we really do realistically consider it a grain, because it fits right into that category much better. So
Now another thing that I like to do is I like to buy things on sale, and my husband often laughs when I come home with, you know, 10 grocery bags full of whole wheat pasta, but they were half off and the package says good till mm-hmm. 2011, and we have a basement, you know. I was like, where are you gonna put that stuff? I'm like, I just saved you $100, you know. What are other good sale items to stock up on?
Well, anything that would be non-perishable. But I think an important point to consider first is buy things in bulk that you're going to use. I get a lot of people that will go to BJ's and Costco's and Sam's and just buy really large containers of things before they realize if they're actually going to like that product or not. But certainly non-perishable items. So canned beans, for example.
Oh, beans are great.
You know what? I think if you make your own from dried, that's certainly the most economical, but it's very labor intensive for some people. And it's for me, I'm not a very scientific baker. I'm more of a hands-on cook. So for me to make dried beans, they never come out right.
No, I used to try that and I just gave up. I said, what am I doing? It's $1 for a can.
And it's great. And that makes such a quick meal. So canned beans are a wonderful thing, but just like the pasta, that's an awesome one to stock up on too. You know you're going to use your pasta. It's, you know, when you're experimenting with grains, I would suggest buying smaller portions just to start with until you get comfortable, because you might find that you don't really like millet that much.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a shame if you turned around and spent $50 on a huge bag.
That's true.
You know?
Now, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Speaking of millet, you really have to make it correctly. My mother used to make millet. She had a lot of food sensitivities, and I have some mm-hmm. too. And it was just horrible. It was mushy and ugh. Mm-hmm. But if you make it, what I do, if you take 2 cups of millet to just 3 1/4 cups of water instead mm-hmm. of 4, you know, instead of doubling it, it mm-hmm. it comes out light and fluffy and amazing. So I just wanted to throw that out there to people that if you make your millet correctly, my 5-year-old loves it with butter, And it almost, this is going to sound really weird, but it kind of smells like cake. I know it sounds strange, but when you put the butter on it, so don't give up on millet, everybody. It's a really great grain.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. And that actually, what you're basically talking about is just shying off the liquids a little bit.
Yeah.
And that does tend to make a lighter, fluffier product.
I do that with the rice, too. I mean, you got to be careful. Yeah, sometimes I'll go too far, mm-hmm, and my daughter's like, Mommy, why is the rice crunchy? But, yeah, I tend to like things al dente.
Right.
Now, another thing that I read that's important, and I've noticed this in myself, is that you should be prepared when you go shopping. And if I go to I often go to the store without a shopping list, and then not only do I forget things that I need, but buy things that I don't. So are there any tips that you have on how to get in the habit of making a list and sticking to it?
Yes. Well, you hit it right on the head in that it's a habit.
Okay.
So the one thing to start off with is I think that people, if they do write a list, tend to do it the day they're going to the grocery store. And it's almost too late at that point because you're just sort of maybe looking around. It's better to start your list the day that you have already finished your shopping and then just go ahead and put a list up on the refrigerator. And that way, when you run out of things, you can just add them right to your list. So it's more of a weekly process rather than a half an hour before you go to the grocery store. The other tip I have is I think that it's cumbersome if you just list everything in whatever order you want it to, because you're always going to miss something. And I used to always miss items. And I actually learned this little tip from when I went to school at Framingham State College. We had to do grocery shopping lists when we did our cooking lab. And they would have us break down our grocery shopping list into categories. So, for example, you would have like a produce. That would be one column.
Beth?
Beth,
you're coming in and out. I'm wondering if we...
grocery store, and it really helps to categorize it for you. It saves you so much time.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I'll be in the grocery store and... you know, I'll have something in the frozen section that's all the way across the store from the produce. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get distracted because I'll see someone and I'll say, oh, hey, you should, you know, have you heard my show? or just start,
yes.
I'm honest, you know, just start chatting. And then I'll forget to go to the other side of the store. Even if I have a list, I'll go home and my husband will say, oh, did you get the so-and-so, the frozen? Oh, geez, you know, I start talking to somebody and he's like, but you had a list.
Exactly.
So, yeah, having it in different categories makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and organize it to the layout of your grocery store.
Yeah.
So it just really, it helps you to just the way you go around your grocery store.
Now,
so.
Speaking of grocery stores, I am a huge fan of the Whole Foods. I absolutely love the Whole Foods. I shopped there when I lived in California. I shop there now. The only problem that I'm having is that their hot food bar, the food is so good, and it mm-hmm. lists all the ingredients, and it's healthy, and I've gotten incredibly lazy. I mean, I am so lazy now. I used to cook all the time, but it's right there. Ooh, this Mediterranean chicken looks so good, and it's already made, and mm-hmm. I've got to get back in the habit of cooking. I've really gotten out of the habit. And, you know, my husband's like, where's all the money? And I said, it's all at the Whole Foods. And I actually want to say that their prices are reasonable, especially their 365 brands. But mm-hmm. I'm just talking about, you know, buying the hot prepared foods. I know that I should be cooking myself. So any advice?
Sure. Well, you know, what you want to think about is what will work for your family. So if you're somebody who's eating out, you know, even like foods or ordering takeout several nights a week, try to be reasonable and say, okay, so two nights during the week, I'm going to cook a meal. And then you can sort of do that for a couple of weeks, and then you can try to expand a little bit. Because I agree, their food is terrific, and sometimes you are tired after a long day. But it's just as easy to pick up something that you can throw on the grill and then hit your local farmer and pick up some nice fresh ingredients for like maybe a really just a nice salad or just some vegetables that you can cut really large and roast them on the grill. That's just as appealing.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, the other thing too that I was reading in an article was talking about, you know, instead of buying the deli concoctions that you like, you know, take the idea that you see in the deli showcase and make your own homemade version. And it's the same kind of thing with those prepared foods. You know, I could easily, I mean, the Mediterranean chicken, it's like olive oil, parsley, oregano, garlic. I mean, that would not take very long to throw the chicken in the pan with the stuff on top. But
exactly.
Somehow it's right there.
Exactly. So. And, you know, certainly summertime now, but a nice thing to do is you just get kind of tired of grilled food sometimes, but take out your crock pot. It doesn't heat up your kitchen. And that dish that you just talked about, that would be something you could very easily just throw in the morning, and it would just smell so good by the time you got home.
Oh, I didn't know. You know, I used to use a crock pot all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, all the time, mostly in the winter. I mean, you know, and all of a sudden it's been sitting, it's getting cobwebs, you know, it's getting dusty. Now, with the crock pot, if you're going to have meat, I believe you're supposed to brown it first. Is that correct? Before you put it in the crock pot for chicken and beef?
I personally have just thrown it right in.
Okay.
I think it's just a preference. It just depends on how you like it. It's good. It's going to obtain so much moisture and really just fall apart. So it's a very different type of product. So I think to make it easy for yourself, try it the first time. Try not browning it and see if you don't mind it coming out that way, because then it sort of saves you a step. Because really the idea to me about the crock pot is just to be able to throw everything into it.
You know,
make it easy for yourself.
You know what's nice, too, is the George Foreman grill.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I've actually made on that that's really good? If you cut sweet potatoes really, really thin, I mean really thin, they don't become like potato chips or anything, but they become like nice, soft pieces of little, you know, medallions of sweet potato. And it's quite nice.
Right.
And the vegetables on there are great. And fish or chicken or meat, I really like that. And I'm also a huge fan of the Vitamix. The Vitamix is great. It's expensive, but I think it's worth every penny for smoothies and sauces. Mm-hmm. And you can make all kinds of things. Now, we only have a few minutes left, so I'd love to know some of your favorite recipes that you like to make in the summer.
Well, I'll tell you a couple that I bring to barbecues because I get really tired of when I go to cookouts and you just see the long line of hamburgers, hot dogs, potato salad, pasta salad.
And then the
huge dessert tray. And then you start off with potato chips or tortilla chips. You never feel good. So I actually developed a few that are very heat friendly. And, there's a sesame noodle salad that I make with, I just use a whole grain pasta like Barilla Plus or the Prince's Healthy Harvest. And then you can basically use whatever vegetables you have on hand, but I try to go for some colorful ones. So you can use shredded carrots, which will save you a lot of prep time, slice up a red bell pepper, some sugar snap peas. And then the sauce is very simple. It's just some rice vinegar, some soy sauce, some sesame oil, and a little bit of crushed red pepper.
That sounds great.
It's very good. And, you know, if you're making it for your family and you don't have peanut allergies, you can sprinkle some crushed peanuts on top, or even sometimes I'll toast up some sesame seeds and sprinkle that on top. And people just go crazy over that. And then a very similar one I make is like a healthy brown fried rice.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's just, so if you take some, this is great to do with those grains that we're talking about that would be sitting in your fridge. You just saute up some diced vegetables, you know, like some diced carrots and garlic and maybe some snow peas very quickly. They only need like a minute or two just to slightly soften. And then, again, I use a little bit of canola oil and a little drop of sesame oil because that flavor really goes throughout. And then you add the rice and you just bring it up all together, and then you can just add soy sauce to taste.
That's
and the nice.
Nice
thing is you get to control how much salt you put on into it, and then you can add as many vegetables. And I took that. I did a nutrition workshop on Saturday, and even the kids that had come to the party with their moms were eating it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and it started with a mom said, oh, they're not going to eat that. And they looked at it long enough, and they were trying it. So. And then on my website, I have, I believe I have my quinoa salad as well. And that's another great one, too. That uses pistachios and it's very, very different. But just some nice things that you can bring to places in place of, you know, one of those unhealthier side salads that we don't care for so much.
I definitely want to go to a barbecue with you because when I go to a barbecue, honestly, to me, there's nothing to eat because I hate mayonnaise. I can't stand it. So everything smothered in mayonnaise, you know, I'll be like, I'll just have a hamburger. You know, I'm not a vegetarian, so I'll just have a hamburger and, you know, something like that. But at any rate, I just would love to thank you so much. And if you can give us your contact information.
Oh, sure. It's Beth Allison.
Okay.
Oh. And you want my email or my phone?
Whatever you'd like.
Okay, I'll leave my phone number. It's the Nutrition Garden is my cell phone, which is 978-479-6964.
Okay, and then www.bethallisonrd.com for your wonderful website.
Yes, thank you.
And I want to thank you. And also, if people want to get in contact with me, they can check out itsyourhealthradio.org. We have some great shows coming up. And as a matter of fact, I have some exciting news. With so many great guests waiting to share their important information with the listening community, I added a 9:30 a.m. Thursday show to the two Tuesday shows. So three It's Your Health shows per week. And this Thursday, we're going to kick it off with Ann Reynolds, who is a co-author of Medical Mysteries from the Bizarre to the Deadly, the cases that have baffled doctors. She's a senior producer of the ABC primetime show Medical Mysteries. I'm very excited about that. And next Tuesday, August 11th at 9:30, we've got Dr. Edward M. Phillips, MD, co-author of the ACSM's Exercise is Medicine, a clinician's guide to exercise prescription, followed at 10 by Liz Wise, who is a registered dietitian and co-author of the Mom's Guide to Meal Makeover. So be sure to tune in. Again, thank you, Beth, and thanks everyone for listening. Have a great week and keep being healthy. Bye-bye.